In this video, we're going to dive into what is the biblical standard for innovation. There is a myth of creativity. I mean, there seems to be somewhat of an obsession with creativity and being a creative person, and I don't want to do things that aren't creative. And so what does the Bible say about that? In Ecclesiastes 1 verse 9, it says, "What has been will be again, and what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun." So I want us to, in this course, be careful about the terms that we're using so that we make sure that we're approaching business from a biblical perspective and not just kind of throwing around terms that really don't line up with biblical theology of business, because we really cannot technically create anything in the biblical sense. We can only make things out of what God has already made. And that may sound like not really much of a, there might not be much of a distinction there, but let's look at the Hebrew. So in Genesis, it says that God formed man in his own image. So the Hebrew term there is yatsar. He didn't truly create man in the biblical sense. I mean, he created the dust of the ground. He created all of the things that he had created, the stars and the planets and so on, the grass of the field, all of those things God created, but he formed man, which is very interesting that he did not create man in the way that he created the planets. He formed man out of things that already existed. And so man was formed from the dust of the ground, the Bible says. So this is a different word than bara, which is the word for create. And that's really the word that we need to be using when we're talking about how we are making things in the marketplace. We are not creatives. We are not creating things in the business world. We are making things. We are forming things. It would be more biblically accurate, looking there in Genesis, to say that God formed man from the dust than to say that God created man. And so certainly God is the creator. He created everything that we have at our disposal. He is the one that set everything in motion. But I just use that one example to show that there are different Hebrew terms for making, and then there's one or forming, and then there's one for creating something. And so as much as we want to be creatives in the world and bringing things that did not exist into existence and kind of feeling like we're, I don't know, I think there's somewhat of an ego trip. I may be a little bit cynical about this, but I won't, and I try to make sure that I'm on the bleeding edge of things in my industry, and I don't want to do things that don't matter. I don't want to do things that have already been done. But that's the reality of where we are in Ecclesiastes 1:9. There is nothing new under the sun. God has already made it all. We are makers. We are managers, formers, and reformers. We are not owners, masters, and creators. That's what God does. We simply are the stewards of the power, of that ability to form and reform things and manage the things that God has already made. So in order for us to understand a biblical definition of innovation and a biblical standard for innovation, we have to first understand that God made it all. And we are simply stewards. We simply are able to manage and form and make things out of what God has already created. So what is innovation? How are we to think about it? I love this. And I Googled it. I could not find who actually said this. But the statement, innovation is when two old ideas shake hands for the first time. And that's really all we're doing as innovators, and we can do some pretty awesome innovations. Again, I'm using a word awesome that's kind of been overused. we can do some pretty extraordinary things through innovation by simply forming and bringing together the things that God has already made that maybe nobody has ever thought to put together. That's what innovation is from a biblical sense. And Steve Jobs, I think, was onto something. He was still using the term creativity, but he said creativity is just connecting things. When you ask a creative person how they did something, they may feel a little guilty because they didn't really do it. They just saw something. It seemed obvious to them after a while. That's because they were able to connect experiences they've had and synthesize new things. And the reason they were able to do that was that they've had more experiences or have thought more about their experiences than other people have. Unfortunately, that's too rare a commodity. A lot of people in our industry haven't had very diverse experiences. They don't have enough dots to connect, and they end up with very linear solutions without a broad perspective on the problem. So innovation done well is simply having more dots to connect, getting more experience, thinking more outside the box than just sort of conventional thinking. But it's not sort of this quest to create something that didn't exist before, because innovation from a Christ-centered worldview, it begins with understanding that God made it all. There's nothing new under the sun. And when you can tune into the voice of the Holy Spirit, that's where those witty inventions that the Bible talks about, that's where those innovative ideas, those innovative ideas can come from. And there's this term used, and it's just really kind of overused, this idea of being a disruptor. It kind of goes hand in hand with, I want to be a creative. I want to be a creative person in life. I don't just want to do things that have already been done. That's all well and good. But there is, it kind of goes further when we're talking about, I only want to do things that are disruptive in society, that are disruptive in the marketplace. You know, I want to be like Airbnb disrupted the hotel industry, or Uber disrupted the taxi cab industry. So why, if that's your heart, is to, and there's different ways to look at how those things are happening, but I'm talking about the heart motivation behind our innovation. Certainly, after you do something like bring an Uber into the taxi cab industry, or bring an Airbnb into the hospitality hotel industry, it certainly is disruptive, and it certainly has an effect, like, you know, Jesus coming into the temple and overturning the tables. Even though he didn't necessarily aim to be a disruptor, he came to be a restorer. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But it looked like it was disruption. It looked like it was a revolution. And sometimes things can seem that way, but we need to have Christ, the heart of Jesus, the mind of Christ, when we're going into business and innovation. And so these are some of the consequences of having a disruptive approach. If that's the heart motivation, is that work and ideas that don't seem quote unquote creative are despised and often dismissed because they just don't seem significant enough. A disruption focused innovators experience overwhelming fear of being insignificant. You know, they compare themselves to Elon Musk or to, you know, the guys that are founding these just companies that are having a cataclysmic effect in some of these industries, and they just feel like nothing mattered. No, they can't settle on moving forward with anything in the marketplace as a startup because it just doesn't seem significant enough. Opportunities for collaboration are often missed because the disruptor wants to take all the credit and be known as the one who disrupted that industry. And there's often a lack of massive action taken, and you just kind of get seized up with this paralysis analysis of how to do something that is truly disruptive. But when you think about somebody like Elvis, he didn't set out to disrupt jazz per se. He wanted to create rock and roll. He wanted to bring some other musical styles together that had not been brought together before. His heart in the matter, far as I know, was not necessarily, I just want to go into this and just, I'm just tired of this style of music and I want to just come in and disrupt it. You know, some people are coming into different industries and business that way, and it's really not productive. Disruptors think less like stewards of God's creation and more like sovereign masters of their own. And so, again, going from this humanistic worldview of I'm sort of the center of everything in my own marketplace, and that everything really exists for my own purposes, and I'm trying to take away from everybody else's chip stack so I can build up my own, is part and parcel with this idea of thinking like a disruptor and just kind of going in with that kind of a motivation to an industry. So what's the alternative? And I know that was all sounded kind of cynical, but I'm going somewhere. And here's where I'm going, is that the heart of Jesus in the biblical approach to, in the biblical standard for innovation, is not just a disruptive approach, it's a restorative approach. And we see this with Jesus. He was aiming, Jesus often gets painted as sort of this revolutionary that just came in. He was kind of a social justice figure that just wanted to just revolutionize everything. And yes, he did revolutionize the way things were going here on earth when he came, but his heart was not, when you're the maker of heaven and earth, the creator of all things, you don't have to just disrupt things. You're restoring things back to the way they ought to be, the way that you originally made them, if you're God, which we are not, but that is our responsibility and our calling, is to restore, is to, as Jesus said, seek and to save that which was lost. He said this was his mission statement, that he didn't just come on the scene just to upend things, but that he came on the scene to seek and to save, to restore something ancient, timeless, and transcendent beyond the world's systems. And so a restorative approach to innovation is not about promoting the next big thing. It's about restoring something. It's about restoring what humanity is lacking or is lost altogether. I mean, I've invented a special type of chair that didn't exist on the market. And my heart was not to disrupt the ergonomic furniture, office furniture industry or something like that. I simply was trying to restore something that had been lost in my own life. In my case, I was suffering from chronic back pain as a result of sitting at a desk day in, day out. And I started experimenting with different things. And I won't go into all of that, but I simply took existing concepts that were out on the market that had never been put together before, and I blended the two to create something that had not been brought into this industry, and I'm in the process of bringing that to market as I speak. I didn't come into this again with a disruptive heart. I came in it with a restorative heart, starting with my own problem to be solved, and then ultimately trying to help other people with the same problem. So even though the innovation, it may seem radical and revolutionary, where, as in the case of Jesus, you may be thinking, well, you know, Jesus came into the temple and he flipped over the tables. Well, it may seem radical, and it certainly was radical, but that was because culture had so radically departed from original intent. And that's what we're called to do, is to call the culture and the people back to God's standards for business. And that's what this course is all about. And in so doing, we express the kingly aspect of our royal priesthood, as we talked about in the first unit, and how we are called to be a royal priesthood. And the kingly aspect is to provide. We're to provide restorative solutions. And that's what you see Jesus constantly doing throughout his life and ministry, is being the solution to the problem. And so now, what are some of those examples of restorative innovation? Well, providing remedies for human illnesses or illiteracy. I mean, that's something that I'm trying to do with my special invention that's actually right next to me as I teach you right now. But we are called to restore with our innovation. That might be in the medical field. That might be with illiteracy. My wife, she taught English over the internet to people that are speaking English as a second language in other countries. And so that's just one way that we're able to be restorative innovators through the business world. Another example is to fill gaps in customer service or to help save precious time that people are wasting in their daily lives. I mean, that's one of the things, one of the reasons why I love Uber and the ability to pull out my phone where, you know, just being able to see what's happening on the phone. I don't know when I get into a cab, I don't know if I'm being taken advantage of. I don't know how those meters work. I don't know how long it actually should take to get from point A to point B. But with my phone now with Uber, I can see it should take this long. In fact, we're going to tell you exactly how much it's going to cost you before you even get in the car. And we're going to give you ratings and reviews on the driver who's going to be picking you up, so that there's that social proof and that you can be comfortable with your experience of having a complete stranger come and pick you up in a car and take you somewhere. Restoring dignity where it seems to have been degraded is another approach. So we're not just talking about the marketplace, but there are other ways. I mean, even certainly within the marketplace, being able to work with people that maybe don't think the way that you do, maybe that don't look the way you do, but being able to work with them in a way that is honoring to God. Promoting the opportunity to experience greater happiness and fulfillment in life. I mean, that's really what we do in business, is to make people's lives better, to provide solutions to help improve people's lives. And so pretty much any type of innovation. And again, it really depends on your heart motivation. If you're coming into business and you just kind of want to just get your name out there and get your name in lights and disrupt an industry and kind of be seen as that type of a figure, that's really not a biblical approach. That would be more of a disruptive approach to innovation. But we're called to be restorative innovators in business as Christians. That is the Christ-centered standard.